Today's devotion is titled, God Who Lives in Unapproachable Light, taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. When the coronavirus first struck the United Kingdom, the National Health Service and the scientists sought as fast as is possible to find a vaccine to prevent the virus spreading. In the meantime, they were also looking for a product that could be guaranteed to keep surfaces clean, to go some way to holding up the virus from contaminating any surfaces anyone may touch. Some years back, Chris and I, at a time when we were looking for a country property to buy, we visited an isolated property in Mid Wales. It had a water borehole at the side of the house. On top of the borehole next to the water pump was fitted an ultraviolet lamp, which as the water passed through, it would become sanitized, clean and fit to drink. The beam emanating from the light would kill any germs or viruses in the water. The coronavirus, which is invisible, is evil. We do not know who may be carrying it. It can strike and affect folk in a diverse amount of ways. How it reminds us of the invisible scourge of sin that is invisible, infecting and penetrating the hearts and minds of mankind. Just as the scientists, with the help of the National Health Service, are seeking to attack this virus by creating a vaccination to prevent the virus infecting others, we need to address sin and learn what we need to do to prevent it from infecting us. Ultraviolet light has a number of uses. Ultraviolet light is used for detection at a crime scene. The ultraviolet light highlights fingerprints. An ultraviolet light shone on a surface is used for killing germs and viruses. Ultraviolet light is given off by the sun rays. It is the type of light which helps to increase the strength of our immune system, that is, which gives us the vitamin D3. Like the coronavirus, we need to detect sin in our world which lives in darkness. We need to know how to recognize it and deal with it. How can we do that? It is through the light of Christ that sin will be first detected. Once we truly turn to Christ and ask his forgiveness, his light will purify our hearts and cleanse us from the sin, making us righteous in his sight. One Sunday morning, as I was sitting in the high-vaulted Anglican church at the start of a service, a beam of light, the rays of the sun, shone through one of the high windows close to the roof. As I looked into the beam or ray of light, I could see particles of dust swirling around in the bright light. What an illustration! For when the light of Jesus shines into our hearts, it highlights the sin in our lives. How do we permit the light of God to shine into our lives? Mankind has been created by God with a conscience, which will show us right from wrong. Sadly, we can so easily overlook this and become hardened. Secondly, by reading God's Word, the Bible, we will read about God's law and righteous ways. In 2 Corinthians 4, 4-6 we read, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. We read what the Bible, the Word of God, does as we read it. In Psalm 119:130 we read, in the New King James Version, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. In the New Testament, we meet a man called Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. He was a passionate Jew who defended the Jewish faith at all costs, even to martyring Christians. Reread what Paul said in Acts 22:3-11. I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you here today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as the high priests and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, who you are persecuting. He replied, My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hands into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. Paul was a religious, proud man who thought what he was doing was right. Yet, by killing Christians, he was breaking the law God gave the Israelites during Moses' time. What Paul needed was a revelation. He needed enlightening as to what Jesus had done on the cross. Sin is associated with darkness, but light is associated with the righteousness of God. Just as we can switch a light on, which will immediately dissolve the darkness so the light of God's glory can illuminate our hearts and show up our sinful nature. The title to this devotion comes from 1 Timothy 6:11-16, which reads, But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honour and might forever. Amen. Notice what Paul says in verse 16, God, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. Like Paul on the Damascus Road, Moses had a similar experience. Because of the holiness and righteousness of God, we must understand the intensity of light emanating from God is too strong for our mortal bodies to withstand. To our human bodies, God lives in unapproachable light. Moses made a request to God, which we read about in Exodus 33:18-22. Then Moses said, Now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord. In your presence I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Some of Jesus' disciples had a similar experience, which we read about in Luke 9:28-30. He, Jesus, took Peter, John, James, with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. Moses' face shone, and the appearance of Jesus shone because they had spent time in God's presence. We also can display something of God's purity as we meet folk by spending time in God's presence. Ultraviolet light is what builds our immune system by increasing vitamin D3 in our bodies. How folk like to spend time in the sun to get a tan and proud to show it when they return from their holiday. We're encouraged to spend time in the sunshine of God's love, and so doing, we likewise will show a glow on our countenance of having spent time in His presence. It will allow time for God to fill our spiritual battery. A battery filled with electrical energy, likewise God's love, which is the oxygen and energy of heaven, will fill our hearts with His love. Furthermore, we will also gain great encouragement by spending time in God's Word. We learn so much about how God undertook for men and women down through the centuries, who by staying steadfast to and close to God, were able to fight through the many dangers and trials we face every day. It will strengthen our hearts and our spiritual immune system. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Why is it that when we as Christians meet folk we know, and also those who are complete strangers, they will quell the foul language when they are in our company and converse with us? They sense the aroma of God's presence in our lives. Something tells them they should not be behaving this way. We are like the ultraviolet lamp, which can detect sin and unrighteousness. So, let us seek to take hold of the words of Jesus in Matthew 5:16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Join my years at secondary modern school and then my early adult years working in a factory. I long to have a fellow Christian to be alongside me, to be an encouragement and fellowship with them, as well as share my Christian faith, which was so dear to me in the hostile, evil world we find ourselves living in. Yet, I sense God saying to me, on more than one occasion, "I can trust you to defend your faith in God, having the passion and desire, strong desire, to share my faith, to be a witness and a light in the workplace." Many times, while sharing these desires with fellow believers, I've made reference to a lovely children's hymn, which we're now going to listen to.
Jesus makes us shine with a clear, pure